Heavenly Father, we thank you that we sit here to worship you today. We thank you for all those prayer requests that we've heard about school and going back to school and getting started studying. Pray for one who's traveling out of the country that you give him safe travels, give him good discretion as he meets people and learns new things. Pray that you help him to be a witness where he is, even though he doesn't have a church to use as his home base there. Pray that you help all those who are going out to school and to work to be a witness, to bring people closer to you. Pray that you be with what we talk about today. Help us to use it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's what my question was. What services were you trying to Skype into?
Probably Sunday school and regular.
Okay.
I mean, I've found missionaries that I can train to enroll, but I don't know how quickly I'll start doing that.
Right.
So before I do that, I'll just Skype in. But I'll be 9 hours ahead of you, so, I mean, Sunday school will be like 7 o'clock my time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll Skype in for both. Just okay. Someone has to remember to bring a device that I can do that on.
Okay. Tony's like, not yet.
Oh, I get it. Sorry.
Okay.
And I want my own chair.
Yeah.
I'll raise my hand.
Should we get a mannequin and just put the iPad on the cup?
Yeah!
Yeah.
I should have made a cutout of myself.
There's still time.
I mean...
Get on it.
You could have carried me up there for the choir. I could have sang out through the iPad.
Oh,
Yeah, but then I would see people.
Alright. We've been talking a lot about every single person's favorite word. Love.
I was thinking food, too.
I almost said four-letter word, but then I knew someone would say food, so didn't say that. Love is, you've all heard, it's not something you feel, it's something you do. And if you look at the Bible, we have lots and lots of examples of love. The best of which, and the most of which, was Jesus and his love for us and what he did for us. And we know that stems from God's love for us. We talked about last week. God loved us, so we love him. And an example of that was that God loved Daniel. And Daniel obeyed God and loved God because of that. And through Daniel, God was proclaimed to an entire empire by the king. And his proclamation was that God is the one true God, and that that's who you should worship. And I can't really think of a time where that wide of a proclamation has gone out from someone that powerful to that many people. Now, there have been times when the entire world knew of God, but that was times when the entire world was pretty small. Think Adam and Eve. Think Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and the four wives. At those times, everyone in the world knew of God. And I think, according to the Bible, we can go out on a limb and say everyone in the world at those two times knew God. But the Bible does speak about a time in the future where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? So we know that all of this is going to come full circle, and all of this is going to happen again. And we could spend probably our 30 or 45 minute lesson time every week till all of you guys have completed being singles and are married and have kids and have retired and have gone to the grave. We could probably work on this every week for the rest of your lives and not cover all there is in the Bible to understand about love. So then the question comes, how do you wrap it up? How do you say, okay, half of my class is going back to school and won't be here next week. How do we wrap up this topic of love? right? How do we wrap it up, put it to bed, put it away? Well, I don't think we should. I think we should figure out a way that we can apply it to our day-to-day lives and use it to change people around us and to do what Daniel accomplished on a broad scale to an entire empire. Maybe each of us can only accomplish to a handful of people in the next few months that we meet in our daily lives. But you look at an example like the lady died after living a full long life, and you think, well, what impact did she have for eternity? Well, I don't know what impact she had for eternity during the time she was alive, but her death brought together something like 130 people to a service, and in that service, 22 people raised their hands to say that at least on some level of conviction, at least on some level, the gospel message connected with them, and they were interested in it. That may, some of them may have actually gotten saved, some of them may not have, and we may never know which ones did and didn't get saved. But that's okay, God does. And her life made a difference in some way. People don't come to your funeral if you were the meanest guy in town, unless they just want to cheer that you're going under the ground. And if some pastor, right? And if some pastor gave a message and you were the meanest guy in town, and his message was about how God loves you and died to save you, you're not gonna. That's not gonna move you if your knowledge of this guy was that he was, you know, no good, right? So her life meant something to that over 130 people, and it may have meant eternity to 22 of them. What does your life mean? What is your expression of love to the people around you? If, heaven forbid, you were to not be here tomorrow, who would come to your service? What would they say about you? And what example or demonstration of love would they have seen in your life that makes them want to find out what you had that they don't have so that they can come to a knowledge of Christ and get saved? Right? Because it used to be, especially in this country that was originally founded on godly principles, it used to be that every kid knew that Jesus was God's son, that the Bible was the word of God, that Jesus died on the cross because he loved us and wanted to save us from our sin. Everyone knew this. It was common knowledge. Not everyone believed in Jesus. Not everyone got saved. By far, not everyone got saved. But everyone had heard. Everyone had seen this witness. Now, it's just not that way anymore. When you go to work at the restaurant, probably not at the Bible school, probably most of them have heard. Right? So that may be, it may be even more of a challenge for you to really show love to these people because they may have already seen love. Right? So you might even have to take it to another level if you're at a Bible school where everybody's already heard. But you go to a class at the U of A, if you were to stand up and say something very antagonistic, like, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that I'm going to heaven because I put my faith and trust in him, and if you don't believe the same thing, you're not going to heaven. How many people do you think would stand up with you and say, amen, I believe the same thing?
Not many.
Yeah.
Not many? Have you ever been in a class, Steve, you've been in several classes at the U of A, so I'll just ask you just instead of asking everybody. Have you ever been in a class at the U of A and said something about the Lord and had people come up to you after and say, I'm a Christian too? No. If I did that at work, I used to know a couple people at work who were saved. Let's see, Sharon doesn't work there anymore, and Herb doesn't work there anymore. Kyle works there still. I probably know a couple people at work. And there's 900 and something people that work in my building. I probably know a couple people at work who are saved. So in that environment, I have a real opportunity to be a witness. And I promise you, 100%, I am and you are, all day, every day, you are a witness for Christ. If you're saved, and you've ever told anyone there that you're saved, or you believe in God, or you've carried your Bible, or you've told someone you go to church, or whatever, you're a witness for Christ. You may not be a good one. I may not be a good one. You're leading people either to or away from Christ. It may be away from most of the time. But if they know you're a Christian, and you use the same language they do, they don't see God's love in that. They don't want any part in that. If you're a Christian and you go to the bars drinking with them after work every day, I got invited again on Friday. It was one of the guys' birthdays. He's like, I know you don't really do this, but we're all going for a drink. You're here at 4 o'clock. You want to go with us? I'm like, I like you guys just fine, but I don't drink. I'm not going to go do that. I'm going home with my family. He's like, yeah, I knew you'd say that, but I didn't want to leave you out. I almost said, feel free, leave me out. I've never gone before. I'm never going to go. They went and saw a movie. It was a PG-13 movie. I went to my boss. I said, you guys are going to the movies? He says, yeah, I know you're not coming. I said, it's not because I don't like you guys or I don't want to be a part.
It's like a work activity. It wasn't like a social thing.
Yeah. This is a team building exercise. Everybody come.
How do you team build when you're sitting silent?
Well, they went to eat first.
They went to eat and they went to a movie.
Yeah. They do
that
a lot.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to, like, do something for
people. Sometimes
they're
bowling and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like hangout, not...
Yes. You're right.
I want to go bowling. Can you do a shingles bowling when I get back?
Yeah.
Sure. We could do that.
So you want to go, like, tonight or tomorrow?
I can't.
I can.
You were supposed to ask. It was your makeup.
Oh, I forgot about that.
We got someone cheddar, so. The first 3.5 years, there's a covenant. So what will our witness be? I'd like to look at what the Bible says if you look in the scriptures at the disciples' interaction with Jesus. I want to make a point, and I can't make it the way he did because it was a 45-minute message, and he's given this message before, and he's better at it than I am. And he had a microphone and big speakers. But I want to try to make a point that, I can't remember his name. If you hadn't asked me who it was, I would have known who it was. It wasn't Paul Schwinkey, it was a different evangelist at Pelletier, Mike Pelletier. He's an evangelist, and I heard him speak in New Testament. And his message was about the example of the disciples and how Jesus trained them. If you look, the disciples were with Jesus for about 3 years. And if you look at about the first 2.5 years or longer of how long they were with him, what did they do during that time? Eventually, he gave them the Great Commission and he sent them out on a task.
They were just like living life, basically.
They were living life. What did they do?
They
hung on to his every word. What did they do? Right. There was a little bit of that towards the end. What did they do? They followed him. They hung out with him. The evangelist put it this way. Jesus' commandment to them for the first 3/4 of the time they were together, if you will, was be with me. They hung out. They went everywhere together. They did everything together. They watched Jesus. How did they know how to call on the Father's name and heal someone? They saw Jesus do it. How did they know what to say to people who asked questions? They didn't have a leather-bound printout of God's Word to carry with them. They certainly didn't have a New Testament, because only the Old Testament existed at the time. And it was in scrolls in the temple. Right? And some people, some scribes and some Pharisees had partial copies of some different pieces and parts of it. right? But your average fisherman had how much of the Bible to carry with him? Zero. How did they know? Where did their doctrine come from? Where did their theology come from? Where did their message come from when Peter got up and preached at Pentecost? Where did he get that? Where'd he get it? From hanging out with Jesus for 3 years. From watching his every move and listening to his every word. How did they know how to interact with people? Not by being a fisherman. You've heard stories about the Navy sailors coming off the boat.
The first time.
No, they did not learn the first time. You've heard the stories about the Navy fishermen coming off, or the Navy sailors coming off the boat, and how vile they are, and how they talk, and they get in trouble on the shore, chasing the ladies, and getting drunk, right? Well, these men were fishermen. That was, for that time, that was the Navy. They lived on the ships with the other men, and they fished all day, and the sun bounced off the water and baked their brains, and... Right? They were sailors. They were fishermen. They didn't learn how to interact with people doing that. What age do you think they were? No, some of them were. What age do you think they were when they started being trained back in Bible times? Do you think they started after they got their 4-year degree and they were 22 years old? Do you think they lived with mom and dad all the way up until they were 18 and moved out to go to college? Ooh, some of them might have. So even if mom and dad were excellent trainers and excellent examples, they didn't get nearly the effect we would have today on our children. Right? My kids are homeschooled. They are with her and I. Basically 24/7. Today is Sunday, and Sunday's a weird day because like someone else is talking to our kids as much as we are today. It's weird. That's
weird.
Those days don't happen with our kids. It's Sundays that happens, and Wednesday night for an hour or so, our kids may not be with us. That's it. These people at this time didn't have that advantage.
Chapter 4. We were there earlier.
What was Jesus' way of completely changing them from your average everyday fisherman into an evangelist he could send to the entire world? What was his training program? It was watch me, listen to me, follow me, be with me. He was absolutely their example of how to be a man, of how to be an adult, of how to be loving to your fellow man, of how to love God, right? So when the disciples were at, when he asked the disciples, and they asked him about love, what was Jesus' response? If you love me, keep my commandments. Right? That was how to show love to God. So, without trying to look in the Bible at all the commandments, then the scribes had tried to trip Jesus up, and he had told them, he basically, in Matthew, he basically said to them, and you're wrong, and here's where you're wrong. Right? They had no response to him after he told them they were wrong and where they were wrong. Well, that was the scribes. The Pharisees overheard this, and they're like, all right, we're the lawyers. We got this. We'll trip him up. What did they ask Jesus? Turn to Matthew. Don't worry, this ties right back to love real fast. 22.
Would it be possible to be comforted by these words if we had to go through the same judgment reserved for the unsaved world?
Starting in verse 35, it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So, the lawyers figure, we'll ask him, we'll keep it down to the Ten Commandments, but when they spoke of the law, they meant the entire law, right? But we'll keep it to the Ten Commandments. They're going to ask him, what's the great commandment? And if he says, thou shalt not covet. If that's God's answer is the great command, or Jesus' answer is the great commandment, they're going to say, no, thou shalt not kill is more so, right? No matter what he answers, they've got 9 other commandments, and they're going to go beat him over the head with those and tell him why he's wrong. And this is for them. This is a trick question. This is a gotcha. What they're failing to recognize is they are trying to trip up the person who wrote, invented, created the 10 commandments. They are failing to understand that they're trying to trip up the person who inspired the entire Old Testament. There may be something in the Old Testament about what the most important commandment is. These guys are failing to understand who they're trying to trip up here. So they say to him, what's the most important commandment? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So Jesus boiled it down to 1 commandment, and then because these guys are lawyers, they're a little dense, he gave them a 2nd one to go with it to kind of explain how to apply it to their lives so that they had no excuse. And then he said, and from these 2, all the other commandments, the rest of the law, is derived.
For the Bible says, for the time has come.
It's interesting. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love. How many commandments start with thou shalt not? This one starts with thou shalt love. Right? If the printer ran out of ink right there, you could almost stop right there and still have the essence of the commandment. Thou shalt love. This says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It says this is the first one and the most important one. The second one is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many of you checked with your neighbor to see if they had a full dinner plate last night when you had a full dinner plate?
I wasn't home when I had a full dinner plate. So.
Maybe at a restaurant you did. Maybe
Katie and Serge's house?
How many of you checked with your fellow man as you went into the store the other day? Because you were going in to buy groceries, which is a normal thing for you. You go get groceries every time you need food. And there's someone sitting outside with a sign. And maybe they're a con artist, and maybe they're trying to take your money, and maybe they don't really need your money, or maybe they're already on the government dole and they're getting money to buy groceries and they're just trying to get your cash too. I don't know. But what if someone really doesn't have anything to eat? Does that bother you?
I saw that bear yesterday, actually. I wasn't bothered because he was smoking.
You weren't bothered that he was starving because he was smoking?
Yes, because he had money for cigarettes. So I felt like...
That's rough, though, because it's so addictive.
No, I agree. Well, it was a full one, so... It looked like he had just lit it, like it was... I mean, yes, that is possible.
Does Jesus love him less because he smokes?
No, I'm not saying that.
Should we love him less because he smokes?
No.
He always gives people money, and I'm like...
I give him like $2 so I can give him a track. Right, because if the guy
with $5, when he asked us for...
Tony
and I were in Culver's, and a guy asked me for $5 to buy a sandwich, and I didn't have any, so I mean, Tony gave me $5.
Or you could have walked him up and said, order your sandwich.
I'll pay for it. That way they don't take your $5 and go buy alcohol.
Actually, I think I did see him buy it.
No, we did.
Restaurant. Yeah.
Well, that's
but that would have been a...
Right?
Anyway, how do we show love to the people around us? Right? How many of you know, and I've probably said this in here before, so this may not be as much of a point as I think it is. How many of you know that Jesus is quoting the Old Testament when he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength"? In Deuteronomy 6:5. I should have marked this ahead of time. There's Deuteronomy.
It's the fifth
book. Or where it is.
I thought you said, "Where's Deuteronomy?"
I said, "There's Deuteronomy."
Oh, there. I heard where.
Deuteronomy 6, 5.
What that old man is.
We'll start in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Jesus was quoting scripture. So he took the lawyer's law book and threw it right back at him. In today's vernacular, I can almost hear it going this way. The lawyer walks up to him and says, "All right, Mr. Jesus man, what do you think the most important commandment is?" And he looked back at that lawyer and he says, "All right, Mr. Idiot lawyer, have you read the book? Did you go to Law 101 in college? It's in the beginning of the book. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Oh, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What does the Bible say that the lawyer's response to Jesus was here? Didn't have one. Couldn't argue. A lawyer that can't argue is like a fish that can't swim.
Worthless.
Yes. Well, most lawyers, well, stay away from that. When we look at the Bible, and we look at what it has to say about love, and we look at how our way of showing love to God is to keep His commandments, and we look at what the most important commandment is, and what the second most important commandment is, what are some ways we can show love to those people around us? And I don't just mean the guy who walks up to you in the parking lot and asks you for money while you're trying to load four children in your minivan. What about the person you sit next to in class? More than once, when I was in college and I only went for 1 year, I would go in and sit down in class, and someone in the room, you know, there would be 30. I had one class had 300 students in it. Most of my classes had about 30. More than once, there would be someone sitting in class with their head down in front of me. How many times have you ever checked with them to see if they're okay? How many times have you offered to go pray with them? How many times have you said, "Hey, when class is over, do you want to go get a drink? I'll buy you a Starbucks." If someone is unhappy and you do something to cheer them up, you have what is known as a captive audience. They may tell you what's going on in their life, but you can respond with, "Yes, but God loves you. And here's how I know God loves you. And here's what He did for you because He loves you. And why did I stop when the other 29 people in the class didn't? Why did I notice that you had a problem? And why did I ask how you were doing? Because Jesus does that for me." In the workplace, school, when you go out to eat, why would a Christian ever eat in a public place alone? Have you ever gone to the restaurant, gone in and got your food, and you turn around and you look at the dining room and there's a person sitting alone, and there's a person sitting alone, and there's a person sitting alone? When I used to eat fast food, I would go from Intuit, we'd go over to Wendy's, or we'd go over to McDonald's, one of those places, and always, you know, I didn't have any need to do that unless someone was going with me, but you'd turn around, and all over the dining room would be these guys in suits and tops sitting alone. They're going to be there for about 10-15 minutes eating their lunch. You go sit down with them, say hi, introduce yourself, find something in common. Yeah, we both work and we're on lunch break, right? And then witness to them. We can show love. We just have to be willing to try to do it. So think about ways you can in your everyday life that you're embarking on, earning money for college, going to college, graduating college and going out to serve, right? Teaching classes. You've got a bird's eye view. When you're in the front and they're all facing you, you can see who looks like they're hurting. There's opportunities all around us to show that love to our neighbor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for everything that you teach us from it. Pray that you'd help us to apply this one lesson that you've raised the importance on to our lives. Help us to apply it and use it to influence the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
I got a